You are listening to a sermon podcast brought to you by Northminster Presbyterian Church of Greater Atlanta.
When we read the gospel passage this morning, those of you that were here last week may have thought we were reading last week's passage again. Because last week we read from the Gospel of Mark. We read Mark's account of John. I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. But I don't think it's a bad thing for us to spend another day with him. This is after all, our lectionary reading for today. And it's interesting, in the contemporary church, John has pretty much been reduced to two or maybe three Sundays a year. We read about him once, maybe twice during Advent. And then we read about him again when he baptizes Jesus. And then in worship, that's pretty much it. So we read about him today, and we will read about him on January 11th, on the day that is the baptism of our Lord. And then that's pretty much all the attention he gets. Which is interesting, because 2,000 years ago, that was not the case. John had his own following, and as much as he tried to point people away from himself and over to Jesus, there were people that still followed the teachings of John. And so even after Jesus had been crucified and raised from the dead, and even after this new way, as they called it, started to take off, there were still those who followed the teachings of John. That's why the author of this gospel, which, by the way, this is a different John. This gospel is not the gospel of John the Baptist. It's a different John. But that's why the author of this gospel makes that distinction in verses 6 through 8. You know, in verse 8, he says, he himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is a message, again, out there for anybody that was still following John instead of following Jesus, to try to convince them, look, the guy you're following is not the guy. Your guy points to the guy. And that's what John himself had been trying to do his entire life. And yet somehow, over 2,000 years, John's been reduced then to a couple days out of the Christian year. And I think he deserves a little more attention than we typically give him. And so I want to spend this morning talking a little bit more about John and who he was. Because John is someone who, as I said with the kids up here, John, from the very beginning of his life, was called to point the way toward Jesus. Jesus' mother Mary was related to John's mother Elizabeth. And John, the whole story of John's birth kind of follows some of the things that we read in the Old Testament, because Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah, they were old and they thought that they were well past the years of having a child. Well then, Zechariah, who was a priest, goes into the temple to offer sacrifice when it's his day to do so. And an angel of the Lord appears and tells him, says, you and Elizabeth are going to have a child. And Zechariah says, how can this be? Well, the angel gets a little upset about that, thinking you're a priest. You should believe that these kinds of things are possible. You know, you're the one that's telling all these other stories about this happening. So what happens to Zechariah then is he is struck mute and he can no longer speak. How thrilled would you be if your preachers were struck mute, right? So Zechariah comes out of the temple and everybody sees him and they're like, what happened in there? And he can't say anything. So then they think, wow, something big must have happened because he can't even talk. And so then Elizabeth is pregnant, and then on the day she has her child, and then on the day of the official naming of this baby, now what should have happened is that this child should have been named after an ancestor. But after not being able to speak for months and months, they say, what is the name of this child? And Zechariah speaks and says, he shall be called John, which is what he was told to name the child. And from the very beginning of his life, His role was to point other people to God. Even when he was still in his mother's belly, Mary went to visit Elizabeth and told Elizabeth what had happened to her and that she's pregnant and she's going to have this baby and the baby will be the Son of God. And at that moment, we read that John, the baby, leapt with joy in his mother's womb. From day one, that was his purpose. Now, it's interesting, John comes from the priestly line. His father, Zechariah, was a priest, and Zechariah's father was a priest, and his father before him. See, because in that tradition, the way you became a priest was very, very simple. If you were a descendant of Aaron, who was the brother of Moses, if you were a descendant of Aaron and you were a male, you became a priest. Didn't matter if you wanted to become a lounge singer, you became a priest. Now, if you were a lounge singer and really wanted to become a priest, but could not trace your ancestry back to Aaron, guess what? You didn't get to be a priest. So John comes from this tradition. And his whole life is spent directing other people, pointing the way to Christ. Now, there's confusion over this because, as you see, the people come out and they want to know who he is. And even still, in his method, as John says in another place, he says, you know, Jesus must increase, I must decrease. And so even as they come out to question him, he won't really answer their question because they say, are you the Messiah? But what they really want to know is, I mean, if the answer is yes, that's one thing, but they're hoping that he will explain who he is. But he doesn't do that, does he? They ask him directly, who are you? But he doesn't tell them who he is. He tells them who he isn't. I am not the Messiah. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? See, the belief was that before the Messiah returned, before the Messiah came, that Elijah would return and prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. So when this guy's out there doing all these kinds of things, they think maybe he's Elijah. So they ask him, are you Elijah? No. Are you the prophet? No. But he's still not telling them who he is. So they ask him again, who are you? Let us have an answer so the people who sent us, so we can go back and tell them something. What do you say about yourself? And it's at this point that, again, he quotes both Malachi and the prophet Isaiah and says, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, and I am crying out, make straight the way of the Lord. His entire life is pointing the way to Christ. Now, in our tradition, we talk a lot about becoming more Christ-like, right? We want to be like Jesus. We ask ourselves the question, what would Jesus do? And so we want to be more Christ-like, but I don't know about you, but for me, there are days that seems like a rather overwhelming challenge. That this Jesus, this Son of God, this eternal Savior of the world, that somehow me, that I'm supposed to be like Him. And certainly I don't want to discourage anyone from doing that at all, but I do think that for some of us, and maybe all of us on different days, but for some of us then, maybe a better starting point, at least, might be instead of trying to be like Jesus, to try to be like John. Maybe instead of trying to emulate Jesus, we should try to emulate John. And I say that for two reasons. Number one, John did something that that we in our culture do not do very well, and that is he deflected attention away from himself. And we don't always do a very good job of that, because we want the attention. We like the attention. You know, I mean, you can get out your camera phone and you can film yourself telling a four-year-old that they're not getting any cake on their birthday and watch their reaction. You can post it on the internet and you can get like a million hits. You're viral, baby. And why? Because you recorded the tantrum of a child. But we like that attention. We want people to look at us. We want people to recognize the things that we're doing. And even when we say that we don't, we're kind of lying. You know, I mean, there's the term out there, the humble brag, right? It's out there a lot of places. You know, we'll frame things just a little bit differently. You know, but we'll say something like, oh, I can't believe I have to choose between this free beach trip and the free mountain trip for being the top salesman of the year. Oh, you poor thing. I saw someone that said, oh, not looking forward to today. Seriously, I saw this. And I probably ought to tell you to cut the recording at this point. But I saw this online, and this one person posted. He said, not looking forward to today. I have to sit for headshots for my new book that's coming out. Really? I mean, we want the attention. We want to be recognized. And John did an amazing job of deflecting that attention away. He must increase, I must decrease. That's a pretty contrary message in a culture where we're all about increase. But John did something else really, really well. I mean, he said, you know, make straight the pathway of the Lord. That's what he's saying over and over again, right? Make straight the pathway of the Lord. And he's saying this, and this means a couple different things. Because on the one hand, yes, as we talked about last week, is that a threat or a promise? In some ways, it's a threat. Because he is telling people, you need to repent. You need to change the way you're behaving. And that's true for us, right? But here's the thing. When the people come out to see him and come out to be baptized by him, they ask him then. They say, well, what should I do? What am I supposed to do? And you got to remember, this is a tradition that made life really, really complicated. The tradition was, well, you got to go get a dove, and you got to make sure it's the right dove, and you got to make sure it's the right age, and then you got to take it to the temple, you got to hand it to the priest, you got to wait your turn, and remember, you, depending on who you are, may only be allowed to go so far into the temple, and you better make sure you wash your hands, or you won't be able to go in there for another week, and by that time, the dove will be dead, and you won't be able to sacrifice that dove anyway. So this is a tradition that made life really, really difficult, and they come out to John, they say, what are we supposed to do? He says, look, if you have two coats, give one away to someone that doesn't have any. That's it. And the tax collectors come to him. They say, well, what are we supposed to do? You know what his response was to the tax collectors? Do your job. Do your job. That's it. Collect the taxes you're supposed to collect. Don't add any on to it. Don't take more than you're supposed to and put it in your pocket. Just do your job. The soldiers come out. Well, how about us? What are we supposed to do? Don't be a bully. Make straight the pathway of the Lord. This is how we're to repent. To show compassion. Play fair, to not throw our weight around. Make straight the pathway of the Lord. See, and there's that side of it. There is the way we act, in our behavior, and those things that we do need to pay attention to. But there's another piece to this that he's saying when he comes out and he says this. You know, because remember, he is a priest. That's his lineage. That's where he comes from. So he is a priest, but he is not in the temple carrying out the rituals. He's out in the wilderness wearing sackcloth and eating locusts and honey and all that stuff. And so when he says this, make straight the pathway of the Lord, what he is also saying is, look, there is nothing between you and God. The Messiah is coming, and there is nothing between you and him. There is no huge sacred curtain that you're not allowed to go behind anymore. There is no ritual purification process that people are going to use just to handicap you and try to keep you in your place. There is nothing. There is no barrier between you and God anymore. The path is here, and it is wide open. And he remained focused on that throughout his entire life. This is the path that I am supposed to be on. This is the way. This is straight. Here it is. It's out in front of us, and there is no barrier between us and God. But we don't really like that. Because we can get distracted along the way, and we can get lost. You know, I mean, I picture it this way. Near the place I used to live in Naperville, Illinois, there's a municipal golf course. It's called Springbrook. All right, it's owned by the city. And several people in this room can attest to the fact that I am a horrible golfer. I loved this course because you could play this course with a single golf ball and finish with that same golf ball. And here's why. Because what they did was they took a prairie and they mowed it and they put flags and tee boxes on it. And so I can attest to you from personal experience, you can tee off and you can hit your ball three fairways over and just yell over to the guys playing over there, "Hey, you got a Titleist 3 over there?" And they'll go, "Yeah, it's right here." And you can walk over, hit your ball, and 3 or 4 days later, finish your round of golf. I mean, there's no duck hooking, there's no dog legging, because there's nothing to dog leg around. It's a prairie. It's wide open. But then you come to Georgia, and you got these things called pine trees, and you can hit your ball into those trees and not come out until they've turned the clocks back another hour. I mean, you can be in there for days, and you can be buried so deeply in there that you can't even see the flag anymore. You just got a guy standing out there somewhere going, "Hit it kind of out this way," and then he's going like this. And what John is telling us is that the pathway to God is like that prairie golf course. It is out there, man. It is flat. It is wide open. He is here. There is nothing between you and God. But we're not satisfied with that because we get distracted by things, by shiny things. And so we end up wandering into the trees because we think that there's something better than what's right out there in front of us. And so even though we know the path from us to God is right here, we get distracted and we wander off. And sometimes we do it on our own accord because we think it can't be that easy. I got to make it more complicated than that. And other times we wander off and we get lost because we're hampered by the things like I was talking about this child, William. You know, we get labeled by other people and we begin to let those things weigh upon us. And we begin to allow those things to define who we are. And sometimes it's recent, sometimes it's ancient. My coach told me I was slow. My teacher told me I was stupid. My ex told me I was fat, good for nothing. And somehow, whether it's us or whether it's other people's opinions of us, this prairie, this path that God has laid out for us to have that relationship with God, we've turned into the narrowest of pathways because we're too busy wandering in the trees thinking that there's got to be something better than what that person said about me. And yet John had this amazing ability. Who am I? I am not the Messiah. I am not Elijah. I am not a prophet. I am the voice of one calling out in the wilderness. Make straight the pathway of the Lord, because he is coming, and here is the path right there. But we complicate matters. What if I have 14 coats? Okay, so what? We complicate things. It can't be that simple, John. It can't be, because I've been told all my life that I'm too stupid to get from point A to point B. It can't be that simple. See, and this is why I think we might be better served by starting to emulate John. By focusing on that path that has been laid out for us. By recognizing that there is absolutely no barrier between us and God. There is nothing in this world or any other that can separate us from that love. And we need to be like John and just as resolutely follow that path. And when people begin to say things about us that we're too stupid or too lazy or too whatever to follow that path, not to listen. And then when people begin to say too much about us, wow, this cat's really got it figured out. This guy might be something special. You know what? No, no, no. I'm not special. I just know the one who is. And He's right down there at the end of that path. Friends, there is no barrier between us and God. John has pointed the way for us. We would do well to be John and to focus on that path and to point the way for others. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. If you want to learn more about Northminster Presbyterian Church, visit us online at northminster-atl.org.